This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, let's start right now by introducing our guests here at the top. First, there's Mark Simoneau. He's from Boylston, Massachusetts, and he's here in our studio. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mark.
Thank you.
And if I may ask, how old are you?
63.
Okay.
Now, we also have Allison Smith on the telephone. She's from Pembroke, Massachusetts. And Allison, welcome to Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you very much.
And same question to you. Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 23.
Okay, so about a 40-year difference there. Well, the reason why we point that out is because Mark and Allison have two stories that will sound familiar to a lot of listeners because they're both dealing with the economic implosion that's had a profound impact on baby boomers and the younger echo boom generation. So, Mark, let's start with you. I mean, at 63, one would think that you're just a couple years away from retirement, or should be, and yet I understand that that's not going to be the case for you. Why?
Well, the last several years have been challenging. I was basically out of my career as of 2008, November of 2008. Went through a period of unemployment. Did a lot of job searching, but nothing seemed to be coming in. My profession was human resources, director and manager level. And in spite of my best efforts, didn't really land anything. And as time went on, the difference between my unemployment salary and what I was making before asserted itself. And
so you ate away at your retirement savings.
Yeah, so basically pretty much everything went. And it basically required some protection, basically, mm-hmm. in order for us to keep going.
Well, I understand that you applied for hundreds of jobs.
Yes.
And eventually found something. You're working about 20 hours a week now. Can you describe what you had to do to find this job and what you're doing?
Well, that's the senior the CSEP program, which is a senior service employment program. And that job came about because I had actually applied for a position with CSEP in the spring of 2009. Didn't get any response, and then made a contact with the state office just to see what kind of services were available. It was Olka Vukovic, who was the director there. And she referred me to the Boston office of Operation ABLE, and Operation ABLE provides these 20-hour-a-week stipended jobs.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, you were able to find something.
Yes.
Okay, Allison, similar question to you. You're not long out of college, I understand, and I understand you're actually at work right now, but this is one of three jobs you've had to cobble together to make a living. So tell us a little bit about how you're doing that.
You want to know, like, my schedule? Or?
Yeah, or just tell us what your job is, what you're doing.
Okay. Monday through Friday for 40 hours a week, I work at the May Institute, an assistant teacher position. On Saturdays, I I teach swimming lessons. And Sunday, I'm a lifeguard.
So you're a licensed teacher, but you're working part-time at that as well as supplementing that as a lifeguard, a swimming instructor. What are you doing to look for full-time employment, and how's that going?
I am a full-time assistant teacher, but looking for like teaching jobs is difficult. It's a lot of spending time online and finding the postings, and they're not always posted on something that you can search. So sometimes it's a lot of looking. A lot of time spent like after work hours, like on the computer. Constantly working on resumes and cover letters and contacts, things like that. It's almost like having another job, working on applying for jobs,
Wow. Well, Allison, hang on for just a second, because
sure.
we just want to point out that the reason why we're talking about this is we have two generations of Massachusetts workers in one terrible economy. And, you know, we're not pitting young against old here, but here's the thing. There's a new study out from the Commonwealth Corporation, and that's the state's quasi-public workforce development agency. And that study has found that Massachusetts has a proportionally higher number of workers over 55 than the rest of the country. And more of them than ever, some because they have to, like Mark, and others because they want to, are working past the traditional retirement age. And that is making it even tougher for young people to find work in an already arid job market.
And the numbers do seem to bear this out. Commonwealth Corporation found that through every year of the recession, workers 55 and older were the only group to increase their participation in the workforce. Here in Massachusetts, in manufacturing, management, business, and financial operations, blue and white-collar work, older workers now represent about a quarter of the workforce, and that's expected to grow.
Meaning in Massachusetts, you could put it this way, we may be in the middle of a generational job squeeze. So that's today's talker. And listeners, if you're 55, 65, older, and still working, why? Did your retirement savings disappear in the recession? Or maybe you're not just ready to quit. And for younger listeners out there, how hard is it to get a job right now? Or maybe you're like Allison and you've got to cobble together a lot of different things to just get by. And are you being told that maybe you're not getting a job because you don't have enough experience? And in all, there's a bigger question here. What does this job squeeze mean for Massachusetts as a whole? Excuse me. And how do we fix it? So give us a call with your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Well, Mark and Allison, thank you so much for joining us. I want you to stick with us for a few more minutes because I want to introduce another guest into this conversation. She's Nancy Snyder. She is the director of the Commonwealth Corporation. Welcome to Radio Boston, Nancy.
Thank you.
So I guess my first question to you is, you know, at first blush, when you hear stories like Mark's and Allison's, they've got to be quite familiar.
Yeah.
What is it telling you about the state of the job market here in Massachusetts?
Well, the state of the job market here in Massachusetts and across the country has obviously been very challenging. And for older workers who have lost their jobs, like Mark, their duration on unemployment is longer than any other age group. So it's been very difficult for older workers to get back into the labor market. And for younger workers, what we found is those with a college diploma or an associate's degree are having a hard time finding jobs in the college labor market. And so they're ending up taking jobs in the what used to be a high school labor market, which means that teenagers are having an impossible time finding work. So, you know, I think for the Commonwealth, it means we've got to keep generating jobs, which we're doing better than the nation as a whole. And I think that the reason we did this report was really to understand what are the issues we're facing and therefore what are the strategies that we need to undertake, whether I'm an educational entity or I'm a business or I'm an older worker, a younger worker, or the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's really what we were trying to understand.
Well, I want to get to those strategies yep. in just a moment, but there's one thing that you said that I want to turn back to Allison and Mark. Let's start with you, Mark. This idea of having to take work that isn't that doesn't match your educational credentials or maybe your experience that's hitting both older workers and younger workers. I mean, Mark, in your case, you worked for 25 years in HR, mm-hmm. but in the end, in your job search, you found that was potentially your experience. Not that it was working against you, but maybe it was catching up with you in a certain way.
I think the decision-making process was affected by many of the employers. Having been on their side of the desk before, I know that that's a struggle that people have. When you have the stresses and strains of an economy like we've had for the last 3 years, you know, some people may make decisions that, you know, well, maybe there's a profile that we'd rather have, you know, maybe cheaper medically, uh-huh. maybe, you know, more energy, all of the euphemisms for, you know, age discrimination. And I use that advisedly. I can't, you know, and it's not something I would say, yes, that's absolutely. But I do know what temptations exist mm-hmm. for people to make that easier decision.
In the job that you're working now with Operation Able, it's part-time. Are you earning Anywhere near as much as you would as you were beforehand?
No.
So how are you making ends meet?
It's a supplement to a Social Security
so I imagine
that
with,
I drew early.
You started drawing early on
yes.
it. So I imagine with the debt ceiling question that
oh,
you're concerned
yes,
once
I'm
again.
Oh, yes, watching very carefully.
Allison, let me ask you the similar question. I mean, you are a licensed teacher, and I understand you are working at the May Institute, but obviously you're not able to make ends meet if you have to work 7 days a week and two other jobs. So do you feel like you're doing anything, any job that matches your qualification at the moment? And if not, why not?
At the moment, I probably would say no. And I mean, I am stealing jobs from teenagers because teenagers would be the ones lifeguarding and teaching lessons. I mean, that's two positions that I've taken from a younger age group for myself. And with the assistant job, like I'm not technically qualified because usually you'd use a psychology background for that. This field that I'm working in now, so I'm learning a lot on the job, but I don't think this is probably the what I'm qualified for.
Nancy Snyder, Massachusetts has long had particular strengths in particular industries. I mean, healthcare, education, the tech sector, lots of white collar fields. Also, I mean, small manufacturing companies actually do fairly well here. Is there something about our strengths in those particular fields that's exacerbating this problem?
I think what I would say is that, and we see this particularly with workers over the age of 55, although I think Mark is really an exception, is the more education a worker over 55 has, the more likely they're going to be in the labor market, and the more likely they're going to be employed. We see very low unemployment rates for workers with bachelor's degrees or higher. I think for younger workers, that bachelor's degree isn't really getting them over the top, in part because of the experience question. Mm-hmm. So I think for younger workers, it's really important. And I think Allison's doing the right thing to get experience in something related to what it is you want to do full time. Internship programs, co-op programs, those are all really experience because that's what an employer is really looking at.
Okay, so let me ask you a question about the experience issue in one particular field. For example, I mean, in the report I read that... for example, from 2003 to 2010 in Massachusetts, for registered nurses mm-hmm. over 55, the percentage of people over 55 working as nurses increased by 80%
yep.
in Massachusetts.
Yep.
So on the one hand, these are nurses with lots of experience who maybe in years past would have been retiring. They're not. On the other hand, I mean, I was looking at nursing job boards online today, and there were young nurses out there just pulling their hairs out that they can't get a job. I mean, someone wrote, "How on earth can you get experience if no one will give you any? I've applied to schools, suburbs, inner city, everywhere. I'm beginning to fear I will become less marketable the further away I get from my nursing graduation date." He or she said, "I've looked out of state, doesn't really want to leave Massachusetts, but I've stopped applying outside because I cannot afford to move anymore. My savings are nearly obliterated. I've asked for volunteer opportunities, and I can't even get that."
Yeah. I really think that the recession and slow recovery has masked a problem that we're going to have in 5 to 10 years.
Which is
we've got, as you just said, areas like surgical nursing, precision machining, skilled tradesmen. We've got an aging workforce that is going to retire at some point or is going to want to phase in retirement. They're going to want to do seasonal work. They're going to want to do more part-time work. And it takes many years to become a good surgical nurse or a good precision machinist. It takes years of preparation. And so if I'm a business, I better understand what the retirement plans are of those workers in those critical occupations that take a long time to prepare for, because I need to start planning now mm-hmm. to build a pipeline. And so those new graduates, those new nursing graduates, I think we really do need to figure out a way to get them some work experience. And, some of the more creative employers are looking at things like moving some of the older nurses into clinical training positions to open up some jobs for newer nurses. And And that's the sort of thing that I think a lot of businesses need to look at, or they're going to have a problem 5 to 10 years from now.
Well, Mark and Allison, hang in here with me. We've got a lot of callers. This is obviously an issue that's touching many people, so I want to get to them before we run out of too much time. First of all, on Facebook, we've had responses as well. Cynthia Knowlton wrote on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Radio Boston, I graduated this year with a Bachelor's of Science in Biology, and I can't even find a job as an admin. I've never had this much trouble finding a job before. So that's from Facebook. Let's turn to Hamilton, where Dennis is on the line. You're on the air, Dennis.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I have a comment, and maybe you can discuss it, and then I'll hang up and let you all discuss it. But I'm 60. In order for me to get my full Social Security benefits, I need to be 67. I have to work until I'm 67 because the difference between early retirement and 67 Social Security benefits is huge. But if there was an incentive that would let me retire at full benefits at age 65 or 64, I would probably get out in a heartbeat, and a lot of others like me would, and it would open up a lot of job opportunities for the 20-somethings or whatever, and I think would put a lot of people to work and would probably make a significant hit on the unemployment rate. I don't understand why people aren't seriously considering that. And thanks again, and if you can discuss that, I'll just listen on air.
Absolutely, Dennis. Thank you so much for your call. Mark Simino, you've with your experience in HR and having to draw early on Social Security, your thoughts on what Dennis has said?
Well, what he says is it makes a lot of sense, but we are operating by different rules now. And one of the ways of maintaining solvency, I think, that most people in the political realm have settled on is extending retirement rather than reducing retirement. It is a little counterintuitive, but they're looking at the monies that would be drawn as opposed to, you know, people at 66 or 67, and as it gets pushed out, they see this as being an ideal way to painlessly make the system solvent.
Mm-hmm.
So, as good an idea as that is, it's really away from the thinking now that's going on in Washington.
Wow. Allison Smith, I mean, the idea of even drawing on Social Security for someone who's only 23 may seem like an impossible dream since you're so far away from that. You know, but another remarkable thing I found in this report is that, for example, by 2030, nearly a third of all Massachusetts residents are going to be 55 or older, and almost a similar proportion in the workforce. So, Allison, for someone like you in your early 20s, like, how long do you feel that it's going to take for you before you can settle into the job market in a way that you feel like you're actually starting to build your career?
I think it's going to take a while, definitely. I mean, I'm still living at home because I can't afford to live anywhere else, and my loans are coming. Like, I had my first actual loans drawn from my bank account today, and it was very devastating. So, I can't, you know, go anywhere else with living situation, but with settling into a career, I think it's definitely going to take a while, like 6 to 8 years, I would say, especially with the loans keeping me back. So,
well, I want to get to say maybe some suggestions for potential solutions here, but let's get a couple more calls in before we run out too much time. Stephanie is calling from Medway. You're on the air, Stephanie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just calling to put in my input. I actually graduated college about 2 years ago. I went to school to be a funeral director. The reason I went to school for that was because it seemed like the type of career that would have a very good job market. And although I've been trying very hard to find work, I'm finding that it's not as good of a job market as I initially anticipated.
Stephanie, that's kind of I don't want to say it's a surprise, but maybe it's a surprise to you. So what are you doing to get by? I mean, how are you, since you're trained in such a narrowly defined field, what are you doing? What are you looking for?
Well, right now I'm waitressing. I am looking for a job currently to be an apprentice in a funeral home, which I have to do for 2 years before I'm able to be licensed, and I haven't been able to find anything.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your call. Nancy Snyder, the thing that I found most sobering, to be honest, about this report is that Massachusetts, because the 55 and over population is potentially growing faster here in the Bay State than elsewhere in the country. We may be in the middle of a long-term demographic and economic shift that's going to touch a lot of people in a lot of industries for quite some time. You mentioned things that they can do in nursing, for example, to balance that. But overall, I mean, are there things structurally that we can do in the economy to both support experienced workers who may need to work longer than ever before, but at the same time provide ways for young people like Allison, like the other callers we've heard, to get the experience they need so that ultimately, when those older workers do retire, there's an experienced job pool waiting to fill those positions?
So the state has a relatively small right now, and actually Mark works on it, on-the-job training program that is actually a really good model for older workers who may have lost their job in a blue-collar industry, don't necessarily want to go back into a classroom, but need to learn machinery in a different setting. And so on-the-job training can be a relatively risk-free way for a business to hire someone. And the career centers across Massachusetts are all engaged in this on-the-job training. So that's one thing for older workers. And I think to the degree that we can expand those kinds of opportunities, it's a way of allowing older workers who are unemployed to put something on their resume to get the experience they need and to train in a specific proprietary area. And then the employer has already taken a shot at them. They know what they can do. And so the likelihood of them being hired is higher. For younger workers, I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is younger workers, because they can't find jobs, are going to college at very high rates, which is all very good. But I think that they really need to think about what they're doing with that college experience, including things like, what am I majoring in? Now, the last caller actually was really smart about, and I actually think you will find something, but she was really smart about how she thought about that.
And yet she, too, is still having trouble.
She's having trouble. But I think the key here is to persist and stick at it and work a network and really just try to move your way into, because I think a lot of funeral services are family owned. So I think it's a difficult market, I think, to maneuver in, but keep at it. But I think for others, it's really about making sure that, I mean, you don't have to decide when you're 18 what you're going to be like for the rest of your life, but really think about what you want to study, particularly if you're in a community college. Come up, do it, study in an occupational program, not in a liberal arts program, and work an internship.
Okay, so let me stop you there, because we're about to run out of time here, and I just want to ask you briefly one last question. I hear what you're saying. We've had this aspect of this discussion many times before on the show. Like, think clearly about where you want to go, target your education, target your efforts when you're networking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All great advice. But on the other hand, it seems like short of the economy coming back up and lifting all boats, folks like Mark, folks like Allison, both young and old, it seems like we're in a period of difficulty at both ends of the age spectrum for a long time. Is that true or not?
I think we're in for a challenging time for a while, and what happens with the debt ceiling, I think, will continue to affect that. For example, healthcare is a really important industry in this state, but we are hearing from manufacturing, we're hearing from IT, they are hiring. So we're seeing a turnaround in certain industries and certain occupations that I think sort of show us that we are coming out of this, but I think it's going to be slow.
Well, Nancy Snyder, director of the Commonwealth Corporation, the state's quasi-public workforce development agency, thank you so much for joining
Thank
us
you.
Today. And Mark Simoneau,
yes.
You work currently for Operation Able, and thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to you in the coming years.
I appreciate it.
Allison Smith from Pembroke, Massachusetts, recent graduate of Anna Maria College in Paxton, working three jobs to make ends meet. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Oh, no problem. Thank you very much.
And listeners, we've got more comments here. Let me just throw another one at you. Ann Seskin writes on our website, radioboston.org, I'm 61 and could have retired years ago. Primary reason not to? Health insurance. More comments at radioboston.org. Keep them coming.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, the allure of war. Sebastian Younger grew up in the Boston area and went on to become a best-selling author and journalist. He'll talk about his film Restrepo, which will screen at the Woods Hole Film Festival. Sebastian Younger tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.